Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, good morning, family. I trust you've been enjoying the presence of God in this place. There's nothing like His presence. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. I'm just so excited about what God has in store for us today. And as you can see, I dressed down today. Well, you have to see me other Sundays to understand what I'm talking about. I dressed down today. No tie. But praise God. You know, it's not the clothes that you wear. It's the God who is in you. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. I just want you to just bow your heads for a little bit. You know, the one thing that I've come to learn over the years is just how to reverence the presence of God and, you know, to nurture that presence. And I just want you to take a moment just to love on Him a little bit. Just love on Him a little bit. Just love on Him a little bit. Oh, we bless Your name, Lord. We bless Your name, Lord. We exalt You, Jesus. We magnify Your name. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your uninterrupted favor upon our lives and upon our household. We thank You, O Lord God, that You have made us Your habitation. We thank You, Lord God, for the great and mighty things that You have ordained for us today. I thank You, Lord God, that You have come to stretch forth Your hand to heal, to deliver, to set free, to open blinded eyes, to unstop deaf ears, to show Yourself strong and mighty in the behalf of these Your people. Father, we celebrate You. We magnify You. We glorify Your name. Because You are our Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord, our provider. You are our God who sees ahead and make provision for us even before we arrive at the point of need in our lives. Hallelujah. You are our Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord, our physician. You sent Your word and healed all our disease. By the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. And as the healed of the Lord, we declare it right now. We declare that from the crown of our head, right down to the soles of our feet, we are every whit whole. We thank You. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are the Lord, our peace. You keep us in perfect peace because our mind is fixed on You, O God. And we trust in You, the God of our salvation. You are Jehovah Nissi. You are the Lord, our banner. Oh, Your banner over us is love. You are the Lord, our banner, because You always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And we celebrate You today. You are Jehovah Titkenu. You are the Lord, our righteousness. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world, You declared us righteous in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we boldly declare it today that as born again believers, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are in right standing with You. Not our doing, but Your doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You are still Jehovah Mekadeskum. You are the Lord, our sanctifier. You have brought us to Yourself. You have taken us, O Lord God, from out of the world. And You have brought us to Yourself, O Lord my God. And You have set us in a sure place. And You have sanctified us. You have declared us Your own. You have made us a holy nation, a holy people. And we bless Your name in this place. Come on, just open up your mouths and just say, thank You, Lord. 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 You are our all in all. And we bless Your holy name. Oh, we bless Your name, Lord. We bless Your name, Lord. We exalt You in this place. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. Now, you might be here today, and this might be a little different from what you're accustomed to. You know, but you have to understand that when you have encountered the King of Kings, when you have encountered the Lord of Glory, then there is something radical that takes place within your spirit. You see, it's not time to be cute anymore. It's time to be radical in your faith, because we have an enemy. There's an enemy to our souls. And the Bible says that he goes about as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He pretends to be. And he wants to intimidate you. He wants to rob you. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or have it until it overflows. Can you say amen? And so we have to understand that in these last days in which we're living, and these are the last days, you don't have to look far to see the chaos and the confusion all around us. But I have good news for you today. Say, tell your neighbor, he has good news for you today. God is still on the throne. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And if you are a Bible student and you reflect on how God delivered the children of Israel in Egypt, how when he was plaguing all of Egypt, the children of Israel in Goshen were not affected by it. Can you say amen? So there's a safe place for the people of God. And today, I want to help you to see that no matter what your situation is, that if you are willing to heed the word of God today and to put what I'm about to share with you in practice immediately, then things will begin to change in your life, because God will begin to work behind the scenes. And as you remain faithful and stand in this place that I'm going to expose to you today, then you can rest assured that the worst is over and the best is yet to come. Amen? Glory to God. Today I'll be speaking to you on Changing Your World, Part 3. Glory. Well, I thought you would have gotten excited about that. You know, that I thought those were shouting words. Changing Your World, Part 3. Part 1, you know, I covered some things, but just before I get there, let me just read something to you real quickly here. The quest of any well-thinking human being should be to discover the true meaning of life and how to preserve and enjoy it to the full, which of course can only be found in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. See, in John 14:6, it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now that is truth, irrefutable. And we just have to understand that. Believe it or not, the quality of the world, in parentheses, in which we live, and we all live in our own world, don't we? Not the cosmos. You know, I mean, you're all in, you know, I'd just like to take a peek in your head to see what's going on. Believe it or not, the quality of the world in which we live, and we all live in our own world, depends greatly on the thoughts we think and the subsequent words we speak. Therefore, nothing should be more important than to garner the thoughts and words of the one who created you and make them your own, ensuring the manifestation of the fullness of his master plan in your life. Can somebody say amen? In Changing Your World, part one, we ended with a confession, and I want us to make that confession today. I want you to say it after three. I want you to say this. 1, 2, 3. I will put a premium on increasing my capacity to believe God's word and speak it only over my life and my household. So help me God. Let's do it again. One more time. Glory to God. In part one, we established the following. The Word of God is truth irrespective of our current individual circumstances. You have to understand that the Word of God is the only thing that will remain. The flower fades, it says in the scriptures. But thy word endures forever, or it abides forever. Amen? And so we have to understand that if you're going to build your life, it's important that you build your life on truth. Not someone's opinion, because we all have opinions, don't we? You know, you have met some folks, I mean, they can tell you how to live your life, I mean, from sunrise to sunset, can't they? And then they'll give you an encore the next day. Amen? But you and I understand that we can only build our lives on truth. And the Bible tells us that the Word of God is truth. Can you say amen? So irrespective of your circumstances, and this is where most times we, you know, especially we preachers, sometimes we have what you call spiritual situational ethics. You know, we, you know, if somebody, you know, didn't, oh, I know Sister Bucket Mount that, you know, she trusted God and she just died. And so, you know, the Word of God cannot be true. God doesn't want everybody healed. You know, what can I say? Oh, I know that person. They go to church every Sunday, and yet, you know what? They were broke all the days of their lives. That means God doesn't want you to prosper. He doesn't want you to do well. What's this abundant life you're talking about? And so we try to have the Word of God speak to our circumstances as opposed to having the Word of God dictate what our circumstances should be. Can you say amen? We also highlighted that every believer is called to believe the Word of God and speak it only over his or her life. Every believer. Now that, sometimes we use that word quite loosely. Have you ever come across some unbelieving believers? People that say, you know, hey, I believe God. And yet when you unpack it, you know, you just have to hang around them for a little bit and you'll find out that, man, they don't really believe what they're saying. You know, they're just saying things, but they really haven't embraced it. But as born-again believers, we are called to believe the Word of God and speak it only over our lives. We also uncovered and established during Changing Your World 1 that the key to being a doer of the Word and not a hearer only is speaking the Word of God. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. We also established that the rudder of your life is right under your nose. Truth conceived in your heart and released by the tongue will frame the world in which you live. I want you to know, you know, sometimes we just don't pay attention to these things, but believe it or not, we live at the level that we speak. You just notice, you live at the level that you speak, and that's the good news today. Is that once we're done here today, you're going to have an opportunity to change the way you speak immediately. This is not going to cost you anything. So you can keep your money in your socks. You know, you can, you know, relax. We're not going to take an offering afterwards. But you can implement this immediately. And I'll tell you that you'll begin to see things change because you'll be declaring the Word of God over your life. Can you say amen? Now I want to review a couple of the scriptures that we looked at. Our first scripture, because again, it has to be based on the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 18:21, am I blocking you over there? Says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those that love it and indulge it with will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. Wow, isn't that something? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So you're either speaking life or you're speaking death. And so when you take inventory of your life, if you want to be brutally honest with yourself, you're going to say, well, now let me just hit the replay button. Let me sit down and hit that replay button and listen to how I've been talking. You know, this is the kind of thing that, you know, it may sound like, man, could it be, it could be just that, that the way I've been speaking has been working against me? I want you to know, according to the word of God, yes. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. So when things are going wrong in your life, we talked about it before. We said God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So when things are going wrong in your life, you have to understand that God is not the author of any evil in your life. You have to understand that we make choices, we do things, and it all begins with the way we think and the way we speak, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in these circumstances that are not quite comfortable. But if you've been around the kingdom of God for a while, you will recognize that, wait a minute, I know God is good all the time. He's not the one who is causing me this pain, but he's the one who's going to get me out of it. Can you say amen? Next scripture. James chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. And if you're taking notes, this would be a great time for you to do that and revisit these scriptures. It says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Next. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Ooh, that's a mouthful there, Pastor Mike. What is it saying there? It sounds kind of hopeless. No, that's only for the one that's not born again. The one that is not submitted to the Holy Spirit, yeah, your tongue will give you trouble. But you have to understand that it's saying that the tongue, just like a huge ship that has just a small rudder, to turn that ship, they just turn that small rudder, and that big ship begins to turn. And the Bible is likening your tongue to that small rudder. Now, a ship is much bigger than us. It says, a horse, you put a bridle in the horse's mouth. Just that little bridle in that massive beast's mouth, and you can get that massive beast to turn wherever you want him to turn. And the Bible is saying, that's how your tongue functions in your mouth. And that's why I say the rudder of your life is right under your nose. It's in your mouth. It's your tongue. Wow. Man, this is giving you a lot of hope here. I mean, how, you know, some folks, you know, I mean, they're like, oh, Pastor, I don't have any money. I can't give you anything, Pastor. You know, but one thing I do know is that I can make this change today. It's as easy as that. I can make this change. The word of God declares it. In Proverbs 21:23, it says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. So in essence, if you watch what you're saying, you will keep yourself from trouble. You know, I have a friend that, you know, when she first heard this word, she's like, man, I wish I'd heard that last week, because then I wouldn't have gotten written up at work, because she sassed her supervisor. I said, wait a minute now. You have to understand, we have to use wisdom. Amen. We have to use wisdom and understand that in every area of our lives, we are called to operate with wisdom. The Bible says, you know, in Psalms, that Lord, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. So, you know, you can't just go around sassing your supervisor, you know, and then you expect a raise and you expect a promotion. You know, no. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. So now you know where to blame your troubles. But the good news is, God is still on the throne, and he can turn your situation around. Amen. Glory to God. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Now that word perverse, to be perverse is to be stubbornly contrary even in the face of truth. To be perverse is to be stubbornly contrary even in the face of truth. So even though, you know, the truth is smacking you all over your face, you just dig your heels in and say, listen, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. I don't care what Pastor Mike says today. You know, I always talk this way, and that's the way I've been talking for, you know, 52 years of my life. And how does he expect me to change? Oh, it's always that going to happen. You can dig your heels in, or you can say, take heed to the word of God. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Wow. Just think about it. There's another scripture I don't have in there. It says, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friends. That means people are going to want to be around you because, you know, when they're in your presence, you're just speaking life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So in essence, what will happen is if you don't watch the things that come out of your mouth, then you could be sabotaging your own success. You know, you could be interrupting the flow of the Spirit in your life. You know, I got to tell you something, that one of the things that is most distasteful to me, you know, it's one thing, you know, listen, I work in the corporate environment, and, you know, unfortunately, there are people there that, you know, they don't talk like me, and so people will drop the F-bomb, ooh. And they'll just do this. And we're in business meetings. And every time they do it, I'm like, oh. But I recognize that, you know, but for the grace of God, there go I. So I get off my holy, you know, soapbox and I just say, Lord, I thank you. That doesn't get into my spirit. But there's a whole nother story about when you get around believers. People that are born again. They have tasted of the goodness of God. And yet, the speech that comes out of their mouth is death and not life. May I have some water, please? All right. Excuse me. And so it's that I find very distasteful. And what you're going to find is that if you ever get around me, I only speak life. And it's not just something that I've been doing, you know, since yesterday. This has been a lifestyle for me. Once I got a hold of the word of God and I recognized that the rudder of my life is right below my nose, I began to fill up my heart with the word of God. And to speak that only over my life. Can you say amen? So I want you to know that if you want that flow to continue in your life, you know, because that, you know, there's nothing more beautiful than when you're flowing in the Spirit of God. You see, I don't go to work and, you know, act crazy. You know, I don't have to show people that I'm a Christian. Oh, you know, hey, how you doing there, brother? Glory to God. Good to see you today. Huh? God bless you. Hey, how you doing, brother? Oh man, living on top. No. I just go about and do what I normally do. And I just allow the Holy Spirit to flow through me because I'm always in flow with the Holy Spirit. And I recognize that I can't just say just any old thing out of my mouth because I don't want to create a breach in the Spirit. I don't want to create a breach in the Spirit. Amen? Glory to God. We also established that we should be, in James 1:22, it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And you know, I read the scripture for many, many years, and you know, it is truth. It is, that's what the Bible says. And most people will come to church and, you know, by the time the service is over, you know, they're outside and they've forgotten what was talked about. So we hear the word and we forget about it, and so we can never implement it. But to implement it, the secret to implementing the word of God is to speak the word of God out of your mouth. By the time we're done today, I'm going to show you how to make this practical without being weird. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you getting anything out of this? Now, the process is the same under both covenants, old and new. Now you have to understand, if you're not familiar with the things of God, you know, we have the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and we have the New Covenant. We have to understand that. You know, we're not living under the Old Testament. We're living under the New Testament. It's the New Covenant. And I don't have time to get into that today. But the beneficiaries of the contract must become thoroughly familiar with the terms and conditions by meditation and confession. So both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that is the reality that is outlined in scriptures, and I will show you that. But before I show you that scripture, I want to show you where it also, this whole process validates Bible study, prayer, and church attendance. This whole process. Go ahead. Next scripture. Now this, in the Old Testament, as God was beginning to take the children of Israel, the ones who believed and, you know, not the ones who didn't believe, the ones who believed, as he was getting ready to take them into the promised land, he said to Joshua, in Joshua 1:8, he said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth," say out of thy mouth, "but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Whew. Whew. These are powerful words. This is the Lord instructing Joshua just before they're about to go into the promised land. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your heart." Is that what it said? Out of your mouth. So even under the old covenant, the Lord is laying in and said, the word needs to be in your mouth, but thou shalt meditate there and there and that. And the word to meditate means to mutter under your breath. You see, that's how you get it to go into your spirit. And when you do that, then you will be willing, or you'll be empowered to do according to all that is written therein. And once you have that going in your life, then you have positioned yourself to make your way prosperous and to have good success in your life. So when I talk about, you know, believing and speaking the word of God, you know, that's what the word teaches us. And from the old covenant to the new, you will see in the new covenant, Jesus states it this way. In John chapter 15 and verse 7, Jesus said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Can you say amen? So under the new covenant, the process is the same. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, today we will outline, you know, a couple of practical expressions, and I'm watching the time. Don't worry, I won't be long. Practical expressions of believing and speaking as we walk with the Lord every day in our lives. Or in other words, how do I make this a part of my life? I want you to know that it is quite easy, because every believer ought to have a prayer life. Can you say amen? And so in your prayer life, you can make it a reality. Every believer is called to walk in love. Amen? So in our love walk, and every believer is called to overcome. And so in our overcoming the challenges of life. Jesus declared in Luke 18:1, I don't have it on there, that men ought always to pray and not faint. You see, praying the word is a sure way to establish your heart, the believing place, and guarantees answers to your prayers, because then you would be praying the solution and not the problem. Can you say amen? So what have I said there? I'm saying that in making this believing and speaking practical in your life, you can begin with your prayer life. When you pray the word. Now, if you don't know the word, then you need to be in the Bible study. Can you say amen? You have to get to church and make sure that you're in every class that's available, because you're going to be at a disadvantage, because if you don't know how to pray the word, which is the will of God, then you won't see the full manifestation of what God has promised in your life. And so you pray the word. When you pray the word, listen, God already knows the things that you have need of before you ask. So you don't have to complain to the Lord. You don't have to say, Lord, you know I don't have any money. But he knows you don't have any money. Then you got to pray and say, Lord, I thank you that your word declares that you shall supply all my need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now you're praying the solution. Can you say amen? And so when you're challenged in your life, that's the time when you have to realize that it's important. It's important for you to implement what I'm talking about here today. You believe the word of God and you speak it in your life. You make it practical in your prayer life. You begin that whole process of praying the word of God. I pray the word of God over my life all the time. That's the only way I pray. Lord, I thank you for the realities of this so great a salvation. Lord, I thank you that you are causing all things to work together for my good and for the good of my household. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've made me the head and not the tail. You've made me what? Above only and never beneath. I thank you, Lord, that you bless my going and your coming. I thank you, Lord, that you bless me whether I know whether I'm going or coming. You just bless me. Lord, I thank you. See, and I pray the word of God. See, every time the enemy tries to put some kind of sickness or something, you know, on me, or I feel something, sometimes you get up and, you know, you feel, oh, what is this? What's going on here? First thing you want to say is, oh my God, Aunt Sarah died of something, and I wonder, it must be something trying to get on me here. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I just say, Lord, I thank you that I am the healed of the Lord. I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And as the healed of the Lord, I declare it. Every organ, every tissue of my body now function in the perfection to which you created it to function. Lord, I thank you that every organ functions properly, because greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I believe it and I speak it. I pray it over my life. And that's important for the believer. See, it changes the whole dynamics of your life. Now things will begin to change. And you just have to be patient and wait upon the Lord, and you will see the full manifestation of what he has promised. In Mark 11:23, Jesus speaking says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." Glory to God. Next one. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Glory to God. That's a shouting moment right there. So the Lord is saying that whatsoever things that you desire. Now, how many have some desires? You can just hold your hands up. Yeah. Whatsoever things you desire. Now, what happens is when you're a born again believer, you know, you only desire the things that God desires for you. Can you say amen? Glory to God. You see, that conditions your desires. But whatsoever things ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You see, you have to understand now, when you're praying, you can't just be complaining. You've got to speak for the word of God. Speak for what you want to see and you shall have it. You see, it makes living this Christian life very doable now. Because what you're going to find is that once you have been born again, you've committed your life into the hands of Jesus. Jesus is your Lord, and you know you are pursuing him with your whole heart. Then this is really all you have to do. Besides finding your place in the ministry, which is another subject for another day, so we can tap into your giftings and so that you can be a part of the body, and that what God has instilled in you and endowed you with can benefit the whole body. But besides that, then you just have to realize that as I'm going about my life on a day-to-day basis, I just have to believe the word of God and declare only his truth over my life. Can you say amen? And when you do that, your co-workers will find you attractive. They'll want to come to you when things are going wrong in their lives, because you always have words of life that's coming. You always have a word of encouragement. You're always looking for the good in their lives. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And so that makes it very practical. So you don't have to say, man, how in the world am I going to, you know, oh, Pastor Mike says, believe and speak. What do I do here in your prayer life? You can start there. You can start there. You pray the word of God, because the word of God is the solution. And that's what you're looking for. Amen. Glory to God. In essence, when you pray the word of God, you would be declaring truth over your life at all times, which may be delayed in manifestation, but can never be denied. The heavenly hosts respond to the word of God. Can you say amen? I've got to read that again. In essence, you would be declaring, when you pray the word of God, which is the solution, you would be declaring truth over your life at all times, which may be delayed in manifestation, but can never be denied. The heavenly host responds to the word of God. Look at what it says in Psalm 103, verses 20 through 21. You see, I have to base everything. I have to preach the word. Can you say amen? Have to preach the word. Psalm 103:20 says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandment, hearkening unto the voice of his word." The angels hearken unto the voice of his word. So I'm telling you, when you voice the word of God, that gets the angels working on your behalf. Can you say amen? No, let's go back. "Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye minister of his that do his pleasure." You have to understand that what we're talking about, this is not lightweight stuff. This is not lightweight stuff. This is heavyweight stuff. It might seem like, oh, that's all there is. But how many of you have made a decision that, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore, and 2 days later you find yourself doing the same thing? I mean, how many are going to be brutally honest today? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to cast the spirit of lie out of anybody. But this is heavyweight stuff. If you want the angels to go to work for you, you've got to speak forth the word of God, because they listen to the voice of his word. So you speak the word only, and all of a sudden things are working out for you. All of a sudden they're plotting for you on your job, and they don't know that, man, when they're trying to touch you, the Lord's anointed, that they're in a heap of trouble. Woo! They have more trouble coming. All of a sudden they see things happening, and they can't understand it. The minute they start to plot against you, other things start to fall apart in other places, and the Lord just shields you. That's a reality for the believer. I can tell you stories of how people try to plot against you. But if you just keep your heart in the right place, you keep your heart filled with the word of God, the word of truth, and you keep speaking truth only over your life, then I'll tell you, the Bible puts it this way, that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Can you say amen? And what is most pleasing to the Lord is when you believe him. Oh, I got to tell you, there is nothing more pleasing to God than when his people believe him. If you believe him, you know, it's not about how perfect you are. We did it in that song, though I still make mistakes, glory to God, but still your love for me never changes. That is true. You know, you make mistakes. We're not talking about, for me to live this life, man, I got to be perfect. I can't begin to speak the word of God until I clean up this. No, you just got to decide, I'm going to believe God. I'm only going to speak what God says, because you know what? I know that if God says it, that settles it. And I know his word is true. Can you say amen? So you understand that dynamic. So you're getting some heavyweight stuff here. Because I got to tell you this. There's no other secret to this whole thing. So if you're waiting for 10 secrets of, you know, overcoming in the kingdom, you know, you're not going to hear it from here. Amen. It's as simple as this. Now you can really begin to enjoy your life. Now we can really have a party later on. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because we're not uptight. Because we realize that, you know, listen, it's the righteousness. I'm righteous because it's his righteousness. Because I have faith in the finished work of the cross. Because I have faith in the finished work of the cross, what Jesus did, how he took my sin, how he paid the price, he paid the penalty for my condemnation. I should have died. I should have been cut off for eternity from God. But Jesus came and he gave his life that I might live. And so now what happens is I recognize that, wait a minute, it's because he lives that I live. My life is hid in Christ Jesus. So I can say I am righteous. Why? Because I am in Christ. When the Father looks at me, he doesn't see me. He sees the Son. Hallelujah. Because what? My life is hid in Christ. And so it makes this Christian walk very doable. Because then you realize that, you know what? Man, you mean that all those shows that I missed on TV because I thought that, man, as a Christian, I can't watch TV? And oh, don't you drink Coca-Cola? You see, some of y'all don't know these things, but some of us, you know, who kind of grew up in the dark ages, you know, don't watch TV. It's the one-eyed monster. Oh, you know, and the ladies, you know, they can't wear pants, you know, because, you know, you can't do that. Oh man, y'all will be in a heap of trouble. Oh, you've been in a heap of trouble if you came to the church that I grew up in, you know, I mean, they check you at the door, you know, make sure that, you know, you're holy. They want to make sure you're holy. Not realizing that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You know, you have those people, they look holy, have their hat, the long skirt, and their tongue is as long as you can. Oh, man. They will cut you with their tongue. But isn't it nice to know that, you know, listen, you can just cast all your cares on the Lord. You just believe God with all your heart. Accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Believe him with all your heart and just realize that what he has done for you, and then begin to speak the word of God over your life. My Christian life is not boring. It's not complicated because I have gotten a hold of these truths and they have made a difference in my life. Amen. Are you getting tired on me? All right, give the Lord a clap offering. And I'll drink to that. Now, let's, glory to God. So in making this thing practical, we also talk, the truth be told, there are times when all that is in your control is going to be speaking forth the word of God and standing. And this is so critical. You see, there's a part of, you know, walking, your faith walk, where you declare it and then you act on it. But then there's a part of it where when you speak and there's nothing you can do in the natural than to believe the word of God and stand on it. I'll give you an example. I remember, you know, when my wife, we had our two daughters. You know, here it is. We have two daughters, you know, two girls in diapers. And, you know, ooh, man, that's happy days then, right? And I remember when we decided that, you know what? We wanted to have one more child. We want to have one more child. And we being taught in the word of God, you know, we said, you know, all right, we want to have one more child. So we grabbed hands and we said, we're going to make our petitions known. We grabbed hands and we said, Father, we thank you that you love us. You care for us. And you say, oh Lord God, that you will grant us the desires of our hearts. You've given us these two wonderful girls. Now, I don't remember the prayer. I'm just kind of giving an example, okay? Don't hold me to it word for word now, okay? But we said, Lord, we're thanking you for a son. And we believe it with all our hearts. And, you know, my wife and I, we believe it. Thank you for it, Lord. And I want you to know, after the obvious, somebody got it. At that time, we were living in an apartment, and would you know, we made that stand, believe God, had this lovely neighbor upstairs. Oh, wonderful lady. Oh, she's such a sweetheart. She had just this little girl, you know, I think she was maybe 6 months or so. And she came down to my wife. Oh, my wife says, oh, we're expecting. She said, oh, my Lord, that's so wonderful. I have all this clothes that I would like to give you. And all this stuff, you know, all this. And we're like, what? They're girl clothes. She's like, oh, yes, yes, yes. You know, we said, but we're not going to have a girl. How do you know that? I said, no, we're not going to have a girl. Now, we didn't do in vitro fertilization and all. He said, no, we're not going to have a girl. That's not what we asked for. Now that took some faith, because that's out of our control. We're going to have to decide what we're going to do. Are we going to, you know, allow our faith to waver? The Bible says that he that wavers is like the wave of the sea. You know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Let not that man think that he will get anything of the Lord. So we're like, we're not going to waver here. And multiple times, she even got offended, because she must have been thought, these people are crazy. How do you know? Have you had a sonogram? Do you know that you're going to have a son? How do you know? He said, no, we just know, because that's what we prayed for. And I remember sitting at my desk at work, and I know my wife went, she was going for the sonogram. And I remember when my phone rang, and she said, hey, honey, guess what? I'm like, well, it's a boy. What was that? He didn't see that coming, eh? Now that's good, right? It's a boy. But there are times when you're going to be dealing with situations in your life that all you're going to be able to do is to speak for what God has declared over that situation and stand on it with every fiber of your being, and you will see the manifestation of it. You know, I've got to let you know that, you know, listen, and the devil is not going to stand by. Now, that lovely lady from upstairs didn't realize that the enemy was trying to use her to cause us to waver, to cause us to go back on what we had asked God for. She didn't realize it. But that's how he works. He tries to get in there. He tries to get in there. But you have to understand that, you know, you have to be vigilant and know the devices of the enemy, and know that when you are believing God for something, that you've got to believe it with all your heart and don't move a wink from it. Can you say amen? So this believing and speaking goes down to the nitty-gritty, as we say, of walking with God, living this abundant life, taking charge of your own destiny, because you believe the word, you know what the word of God says, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith God, they're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future, or an expected end. You know what the word of God says, and so you're only speaking what you want to see. You want to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Can you say amen? So you speak forth the word of God. No, I got to hurry. Say hurry, Pastor Mike. Say hurry, hurry, Pastor Mike. Oh, thank you, Pastor. He's the man in charge. He said, take your time. So let me get a chair. Let me get a chair. Now, why is that so important? Look at this next scripture in terms of when you're standing. Matthew 18:19. That's a scripture that every believer ought to know and embrace. Said Jesus speaking, says, and again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I have good news for Pastor. So that means you know, everybody doesn't have to bring all their problems to pastor. Can you say amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I thought you were going to say, thank you, Jesus. See, all I had to do is come in agreement with my wife. Hopefully your wife is your best friend. Let me leave that there. You know, but you come into agreement with your spouse. You come into agreement with a brother or a sister. If two of you shall agree on earth, that's power right there. That's power. We just have to be in agreement. And once we're in agreement, we're going to see the manifestation of those things that we're petitioning God for. Can you say amen? And so we can't be casual about it. We can't be casual because in the kingdom, especially for the born again believer, your spirit man has been regenerated. The spirit of God is flowing on the inside of you. The words that come out of your mouth carry more authority than the average person. You've got to understand that. And so you've got to speak the word only. You've got to speak realizing, don't let me say, like you said, don't let me pray now. And when I pray, things happen. Don't let me open my mouth. But I only speak life. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. All right. I'm coming home. I'm bringing it home. Bringing it home. Woo. How about your love walk? How do you express this in your love walk? It's important. You see, the born again believer is called to live by the royal law of love. Period. So if you're trying to live by, you know, the laws of the old covenant, then you're going to make your way miserable. The born again believer is called to live by the royal law of love. Our love walk is tied closely to our ability to overcome. You know, here at Streams, our scripture, John 13:35. Jesus said, who knows it? Glory to God. By this shall men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So in your love walk, this is important. You know, there's an acronym for love, you know, when you talk about love. Because everybody, it's easy for someone to say, you know, one of the things that, I've seen people that, you know, just say, oh, love you, oh, love you, oh, love you, love you, oh, love you, love you. And they take it so casually. You know, but I'm very particular about my love yous. Because when I say I love you, I really do. But if you're going to love someone, then the first letter of love is what? Come on, you all know that. L. So if you're going to love someone, then you've got to look for the good in that person. Got to look for the good. You're talking about loving someone, and you see, you have to, for you to love someone and to make this practical in your life so that your speech will be consistent with who you are or who you claim to be, you've got to look for the good in others. And so the thing is, you can know the worst about someone and still expect the best. Glory to God. Can you say amen? So you don't have to look to say, well, you know, did you realize that, you know, Pastor Mike, you know, that shirt he was wearing, man, with the stripes, it was bothering my eyes all day. I'm offended. See, that's why she's outside there. No, you have to look for the good. Can you imagine that? If you only look for the good in others. Because we all have idiosyncrasies. We all play the fool sometimes, you know, especially you married men. Our wives have just learned how to speak to the king in us and not the fool in us, amen? But you look for the good. If you're going to love someone, you've got to look for the good. Say, look for the good. All right, and I promise you, I'm really coming home now. You look for the good. What's the next letter in love? Oh, you. Oh boy. You were texting. Oh, you have to overlook the faults and failures of others. If you're going to really love someone, you've got to overlook the faults and the failures. Because how many of us know that we all have those? Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm at the right place. Because if you're looking for a perfect church, perfect people, you know, perfect, you're in the wrong place. In fact, and I'll say, I can't bid you Godspeed because I know you're not going to find it anywhere. But you overlook the faults and the failings. You know, so the thing is that, you know, so if your husband made a bad investment choice, don't let him feel like an idiot the rest of his life. Got to overlook it and say, honey, you might have missed that one. But you know what? Praise God. You're going to get the next one. Amen. Glory to God. You overlook the faults and the failings. What's the next letter? V. Woo. V. You have to voice your approval. You have to voice your approval and acceptance. You can't be like the gentleman that, you know, he's in counseling because his wife has just, she's had it up to here. And she's in counseling and, you know, she said, you know, counselor, you know, you know what happened? You know, he doesn't tell me that he loves me. And she's just upset. And the counselor said, you know, what do you say about that? You know, and he said, well, counselor, the day I married her, I told her that I love her. And if I change my mind, I will let her know. Well, that ain't gonna cut it. Can you say amen? You've got to voice your approval. You know, you have to voice your approval and your acceptance if you're really going to say you love someone. And what's the last letter? E. That's for endeavor. You have to endeavor to demonstrate your love in practical ways. And so besides just speaking, because, you know, you can't say, you know, on Valentine's Day, honey, I just want to declare the word of God over your life. God says you are a Proverbs 31 woman. You are lovely. You are just, you know, your children shall rise up and call you blessed. And that's wonderful. But you got to get some flowers to go along with that also. You know. And if your wife is high maintenance, you got to get some jewelry to go along with it. My wife has the best T-shirt I've ever seen. She said, it says, I would give up shopping, but I'm not a quitter. That's endeavor. So if you're going to love, in your love walk, you've got to watch the words that come out of your mouth, but you have to understand what it really means to love. But it makes it practical. We can do this. Tell your neighbor, hey, I can do this. Glory to God. You see, love conquers all and releases the power of God to work in our lives as faith is energized. I read it again. Love conquers all and releases the power of God to work in our lives as faith is energized. Because faith works by love, and perfect love casts out all fear. Can you say amen? Get one more scripture, and then I'll wrap it up. 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears or feareth is not made perfect in love. So if you're going to love, if you're going to, you know, say, hey, I love, you have to understand you can't operate in fear and love. You've got to operate in faith. Can you say amen? And in operating in faith, you've got to believe the word of God and speak it out of your life, out of your mouth. Because what happens is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So it's all connected. It's all connected. What you're hearing, what you're hiding in your heart, and what you're speaking out of your mouth, it will make you more than a conqueror in his name. Can you say amen? So all that is necessary to change your world has already been provided. Take this message to heart. And watch the amazing transformation occur right before your very eyes. May the Lord continue to shed light on your path. Give the Lord a clap offering in this house. Now, are you clapping because I'm done, or are you clapping because you're really excited? I brought it home. Glory. I spoke it. Glory to God. Praise God. You know, just bow your heads. as we bring this service to a close. Hallelujah. Just meditate on the words of this song. Yeah. Hallelujah. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Nothing greater. Yes, Lord, I live to worship you. I'm amazed at your glory, embraced by your mercy, O Lord. I live to worship you. Woo. Yes. Huh? That is the cry of our hearts. Hallelujah. There is no higher calling, no greater on. Hey. Oh, we bless your name, Jesus. I'm amazed. I live to worship. Oh, Lord. I live to worship you. Oh, Lord. I live to worship you. Yes, Lord, we live to worship you. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. Yes. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I don't want to close this service without giving someone the opportunity to begin this wonderful journey of being born again, born of the Spirit of God, born of the Word of God, of just making Jesus the Lord of your life. The Bible tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so it's just like stepping down the aisle and saying, I do. The minute you say, I do, then you did, and it's done. And so I'm going to, with all eyes closed and heads bowed, I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer that if you believe it in your heart, it will mark the beginning of something new and exciting in your life. You'll be able to say, I have committed my life into the hands of Jesus today. And everyone praying this out loud, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to die in my stead. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sins and now receive wholeheartedly the free gift of salvation. I ask that you wash me in his blood. Fill me with your Spirit and make me your own. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for hearing my prayer. I pray it and I receive it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Glory to God. And that while you maintain the same posture, I just want to pray a prayer of rededication. There might be someone here who, yes, you are born again, you have accepted Jesus. You can point back to the day when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you've grown cold and indifferent to the things of God. The circumstances of life have actually beaten you under, and you feel so detached. You believe that God has abandoned you. The cares of this world and the troubles that you've faced, and even your recent past, has been speaking louder than the realities of this so great a salvation. And I want to give you the opportunity today to rededicate your life and to step into a new season in your life, where a season in which you will see God move in ways that he has never moved before in your life. Just pray this with me. Holy Father, I thank you for your faithfulness and your love. I confess my neglect of nurturing my fellowship with you. I ask that you forgive me and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Anoint me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with power, and cause me to live in the glory of your grace. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for hearing my prayer. I pray it and receive it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering in this house. Glory to God. Now, we're not going to make a spectacle out of it, but I just want to say to you, if you've prayed that prayer, any of those prayers today, something new has taken place in your life. Can you say amen? If you believed it with your heart, as you've confessed it with your mouth, there's a difference today. Now, if you want to acknowledge that, if today you pray the prayer of salvation and you said, today was the day that I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and you want to stand to your feet, you can go ahead and stand, and we will applaud. Praise God. So everybody is saved. And if you pray that prayer of rededication, we just want to say, listen, we love you. God loves you, and we love you, and we are here to support you. We are here to help you to get back on your feet in a tangible way. We are here to help you see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. Glory to God. So God bless you all. Father, I thank you, O Lord God, for your word that has gone forth today. I thank you, O Lord God, that it's found the good soil of the hearts of these your precious people. I thank you, Lord God, that as we go now, Lord, to celebrate this so great a salvation at Pastor's House, I thank you, Lord God, that we will have a wonderful time in your presence because we are always in your presence. And so, Father, we just commit our all into your hands. And even as we go forth this week, we thank you that it will be a victorious week. We thank you, Lord God, that every negative situation in every life that is represented here will be turned around for your glory. Father, we thank you and we give you the preeminence in our lives always. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everyone in agreement says,
amen.
Amen. I now turn it over back to Pastor. Hallelujah.